Penguin Random House Audio presents The House at the Edge of Night by Catherine Banner. Read for you by Eduardo Ballerini. But islands can only exist if we have loved in them. Derek Walcott. Part 1. The Collector of Stories. 1914 to 1921. Once the whole of the island of Castellammare was plagued by a curse of weeping. It came from the caves by the sea, and because the islanders had built their houses from that rock, which had been the liquid fire of the volcano itself, very soon the weeping rang in all the walls of the buildings. It resounded along the streets, and even the arched entrance of the town wailed at night like an abandoned bride. Troubled by this curse, the islanders fought and quarreled among themselves. Fathers disagreed with sons, mothers turned against daughters, neighbors refused to speak to each other. In short, nobody had any peace. This continued for many years, until one autumn, a great earthquake came. The islanders were woken by a shuddering at the heart of the island, an awful tremor. The earthquake rattled the cobbles in the streets and the dishes inside the cupboards. Buildings began to tremble like ricotta. By morning, it had knocked every house to the ground. While the fallen stones mourned and wept, the islanders came together to decide what must be done. A young peasant's daughter by the name of Agatha had been visited by a vision of the Madonna and developed ideas of her own about the curse of weeping. "Some sadness has seeped into the stones of the island," she said. "We must take the ruins and build from them a new town, and when we have done that great labor, the curse of weeping will be gone." So the islanders, stone by stone, rebuilt the town. From an old tale of the island, in the version first told to me by Pinavella, recorded at the Sant'Agata Festival of 1914. 1. He was woken by a scratching at the window shutters. Therefore, he must have slept.
"The baby is coming," someone called. "Signor il dottore!"
In his great confusion, he thought they meant his wife's baby, and was up and at the window in a knot of bedsheets before he recalled that she was sleeping beside him. The face at the window was the peasant Rizzo's, floating like a moon in the dark.
"Whose baby is it?" asked the doctor. "Signor il Conte's baby. Who else?"
So as not to wake his wife, he went to the door. The moonlight in the courtyard imposed on everything an odd clarity. Even Rizzo was altered. The peasant had on his Sunday waistcoat and tie. He wore them stiffly, as though nailed into them.
"This is a mistake," said the doctor. "I'm not under instructions to deliver the Count's baby." "But I was ordered to fetch you by Signor il Conte himself." "I'm not under instructions to attend La Contessa during her labor. The midwife has had charge of her pregnancy all along. The Santu must have meant you to fetch her instead."
"No, no, they already have the midwife. The Count wants you, too. Urgently, he said."
Rizzo was puffed up with the importance of his message.
"Will you come? At once?"
"My own wife's baby is due very soon. I don't want to go far from home if it can be avoided."
But Rizzo would not relinquish his mission.
"The Contessa's baby is due right now, this very moment," he said. "I don't think it can be avoided, dottore."
"And the midwife can't handle it alone?"
"No, dottore, it's a complicated birth. They need you, because the baby won't come out without those silver sugar tong things of yours."
Rizzo pursed his lips at having to speak directly of such matters. He had witnessed the births of none of his own 9 children, preferring to think of them as having sprung out of the earth like Adamo and Eva.
"Will you come?"
he said again. The doctor cursed inwardly, for it was plain that he must.
"I'll get my coat, I'll get my hat," he said. "I'll join you in the road in 5 minutes. Have you got your donkey cart, or are we to walk?"
"No, no, dottore, I brought the cart."
"Have it ready."
He dressed in the dark. His watch stood at 1:45. He packed his instruments, forceps, steel scissors, a set of syringes, all of which he had prepared for his own wife's impending delivery, as well as morphine and magnesium sulfate in case of emergency. When this was done, he disturbed his wife.
"How often are the pains waking you, amore?" he said. "The Count's wife has gone into labor early. Curse her, and I'm called away to attend."
She frowned at being woken.
"Still a long time. Let me sleep."
God willing, he should be able to deliver La Contessa's baby and be back in time for his wife's. Before leaving, he ran across the piazza and woke the ancient Gesuina, who had been the island's midwife until she began to lose her sight.
"Signora Gesuina, mi dispiace," he said. "Will you sit with my wife? I'm called to attend to another patient, and my wife has been suffering labor pains."
"Who's the other patient?" said Gesuina. "Blessed Sant'Agata, is some other poor soul in the process of dying on this godforsaken island that you have to leave her at such a time?"
"The Count's wife has gone into labor early, and there are complications. They need me to bring the forceps."
"The Count's wife, eh? And you've been called to attend her?"
"Yes, Signora."
"From what I've heard, you've your reasons for preferring not to deliver Signora La Contessa's baby."
The old woman fell into a silence full of portent.
"What have you heard, Signora Gesuina?"
The doctor was unable to suppress his irritation.
"Rumors," said Gesuina.
"Anyway, will you come and sit with her?"
Gesuina collected herself.
"Yes, by Sant'Agata, of course. Where are you, boy? Let me catch hold of you so I don't lose my footing on these troublesome stones."
The woman really was almost blind. Gesuina followed him across the square, holding the hem of his coat, and installed herself on a chair in the corner of the bedroom. He hoped the sight of the ancient figure would not alarm his wife if she woke. Already it was past 2. He kissed her forehead and left her. Still cursing, he went in search of Rizzo and his donkey cart. Damn the Count and his wife! She had refused to have him attend to her pregnancy, preferring the ministrations of the island's midwife. Why now this haste in calling him to the villa at 2 in the morning? This complication of hers was probably no more than a twisted cord or a particularly violent pain, and there was no need of the forceps at all. And yet his own wife must be left unattended while he rode across town on their orders. Rizzo was waiting, with his hat in his hands, as though at mass. They mounted his donkey cart, a fanciful contraption in green and yellow. Its painted panels told the stories of great battles, shipwrecks, and miracles belonging to the island. It was not a vehicle designed for haste. In a silence threaded with the blue crash of the sea, they traveled the sleeping streets. The moon burnished the palm leaves and lit the dusty back of the donkey.
2 babies, 2 on the whole island, grumbled the doctor. My wife's and the Contessa's, and both of them come at once. Who would be a medico condotto?
Ah,
said Rizzo, who was not much inclined to express his opinion on the trials of country doctors.
It's a double blessing, though, dottore, isn't it? 2 babies born on the same night. It's never happened on the island before.
It's a double inconvenience.
They reached the Count's gate at 2:20. The doctor took his coat, his hat, his bag, and stethoscope, and made off down the drive at a jog, the sooner to be finished with this business. The Count was standing sentinel outside his wife's bedroom in the modern part of the house. The electric glare on his face gave him a sweaty, reptilian look.
You're late, he said. I sent for you nearly 1 hour ago. I wasn't under instructions to attend this birth at all.
Irritation made the doctor forthright.
My own wife is in the early stages of labor. She's had pains on and off for days. It's damned inconvenient to leave her. And I thought La Contessa wanted only the midwife in attendance. She did. It was I who sent for you. Carmela is in here. You'd better see for yourself.
The Count stepped aside to allow the doctor to push past his bulk and into the Countess's room. The electricity, newly installed, made everything pallid. The midwife was at work with a primal rhythm. Breathe, push, breathe, push. But Carmela did not breathe, did not push. and he could see now that it wasn't just a matter of a twisted cord.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?